What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Getting your reaction to the debate performance last night. We got a couple people hanging on the line. Let's go to Van. Welcome to the show, Van. How are you?
Okay, Pete.
Good.
I don't know what you or I or anybody else is going to do about this, but I've been saying for maybe a year that Republicans need to sort of lay off Biden. It's been so obvious and such a killing that I think they're going to get right down to the wire and change to Newsom or some other candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be such a relief to a lot of Democrats that would have probably stayed home or I don't know.
Look,
I've been unenthused that we'd lose the election.
Right. No, I get the fear. That's why I said I started off the program I was talking about, and I sent out a tweet from Andrew Bates, who is a former North Carolina comms guy. Now he works at the White House. And he says, old North State crowd is electric as Joe Biden presses the need for tax fairness, restoring Roe, and a president who doesn't defile the office and trample the rule of law. Keep the faith, right? So, yes, I want Joe Biden to be on the ballot in November. Absolutely.
Right.
And so I understand what you're saying. Like, the concern is that it becomes so toxic that the Democrats boot Biden and then end up with a candidate that people are like, oh, thank God, it's not Biden and it's not Trump. I'm going to vote for him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, even some that are on the fence, it may have gone for Trump because, you know, the least of all the evils.
Right. No, I get it.
I don't have this other option. You know?
Right.
So, I don't know. Maybe the Republican Party can have some influence on media, their media people. I don't know. It's just unfortunate if that happened.
Yeah. No, I got you, Van. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. It's a fair concern. I think it's a legitimate one, right, that there is a risk. The risk is that they move Biden off. They put somebody else in there. That's going to be a better option than Biden, Trump, or Kamala Harris. Now, I don't know how that happens. You're going to have to get Kamala to go along with you, right? Because in order to make that happen, you got to leapfrog her. Okay, sorry. You got to bypass her, right? You got to catapult over her. All right, let me go over to Alan. Hey, Alan, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to comment, you know, everybody was all up in arms about the characterization that the special prosecutor looking into Biden's handling of classified documents, and he said, what, he's a old, feeble man or something, words to that effect?
Robert Hur, the special counsel, called him a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
And nobody would let the subpoenaed records go to the Congress here to see what happened in that interview. I think we saw just now what happened in that interview.
Exactly. Right. Proof last night why the White House does not want the audio recordings released. It's now more, I'd say now it's more important than ever to release the audio, because I suspect it's going to confirm exactly what we saw last night.
Well, I think that Donald Trump ought to consider identifying himself as the notorious DJT.
There you go. Now, they only give those types of monikers to left-wing Supreme Court justices. Alan, I appreciate the call. Barry Weiss, she was formerly of the New York Times. She was a columnist, and they ran her out of the New York Times. She went and started the Free Press, and here's what she said. Last night was more than a catastrophe for Biden. It was a catastrophe for an entire class of experts, journalists, and pundits who have since 2020 insisted that Biden was sharp as a tack, on top of his game, basically doing handstands while peppering his staff with tough questions about care for migrant children and aid to the Ukraine. Anyone who committed the sin of using their own eyes on the 46th president was accused variously of being Trumpers, MAGA cult members who don't want American democracy to survive, or ageists, or just dummies who were easily duped by disinformation, misinformation, fake news, and cheap fakes. Turns out, our eyes work just fine. It is a scathing indictment of these quote-unquote elites, the experts, the commentariat class. If they didn't know, they are fools. And if they did, they're liars. However much you don't like them, you don't like them enough. Let me go over to line two. Here is Dick. Welcome to the program. Hey, Dick.
Hey. I did not actually see it last night, but I listened to all the reviews this morning, and it's just a fiasco what they did last night. We did the right thing with Trump, and they're just, you know, doubting Thomas's and everything that we do, everything we try to do, and everything we've done in the past. I mean, by holding Trump accountable for all this stuff and Joe Biden goes scot-free, it's just they get what they deserve. This nasty old man should be out of office. We got to kick his butt and get him out.
Right, and that's like, well, I want him to be on the ballot in November. I want Trump to run against him.
Oh, I get it. No, right. Yeah, we don't want somebody to show up that they'll go, oh, wow, well, the great white knight showed up here, and he's going to make it better.
Right.
He's going to make America worse. Socialism. Have you heard of it? Yeah. That's what they want. We don't. We need to get rid of them.
I got you, Dick. I appreciate the call. Let me get to this couple of messages I've got here. It's just my inbox is blown up. Russ says, my wife is also my canary in the coal mine. I've said Christy is my canary in the coal mine. She said, in other words, if stuff breaks through for her and she's aware of it, then I know that like the general public becomes aware of certain things. Now, Christy's a little bit because of who she's married to. Like, she's more aware, I think, than average, you know, members of the public that don't pay attention to any news. Christy does, but if a story has broken through and she knows details of stories, then I know it's like, okay, this, you know, this story is crossing over into sort of the mainstream. So Russ says his wife said that on Biden's walk out onto the stage and the first question that they either had planned a slow release dose that didn't work as planned or that they intentionally messed with his meds to make him crash and burn publicly. She pointed out the difference in how he came out at the State of the Union versus last night and said he almost looked surprised when he opened his mouth and there wasn't more oomph there. Kind of like when the power goes out, but you flip the light switch anyway and are surprised that the lights don't come on. So this is one of the comments I wrote down last night. Did Democrats set up Joe to fail so they could replace him? Right. These are the questions that I find myself asking because I have no other explanation for what I just witnessed. Last night as I'm watching this, like, how did you not prepare him better? You had a week? Or maybe this is the best. But then again, we see him at the rally. He's got the teleprompter. He's got a crowd cheering him on. And that's the image that Democrats want to preserve. That's how they want to remember him, right? But that's not him all the time. Yes, Timoteo says, I heard Kamala defending Biden's performance. It sounded like the kid in left field praying, please, Lord, don't let the ball come to me. I do have that audio. I will play that audio. It is, it's pretty bad. Taylor wants to know, do you believe there is a Machiavellian plot to replace Joe Biden? This is the same government that couldn't plan the withdrawal from Afghanistan. That's true. How does Trump stack up against possibly Gavin Newsom or whoever else the Democrats may try to replace him with? I tried to call the show, but I couldn't hang on for very long. Sorry, I couldn't get you on, Taylor. See, this is where I'm torn because I'm not a conspiracy theory kind of guy. But I also have covered enough trials, right? And have seen enough presentations of evidence that it's like, at some point, all of the evidence points in one direction and it becomes more likely than not, right? It becomes more likely than not that somebody's guilty. Otherwise, they're just the unluckiest person in the world, right? And so when I, you know, and I don't know, like, who all is, quote, in on it? I mean, I have to believe that the family knows that Joe has lost a lot of steps, right? The family has to know that, yet they keep putting him out there. And maybe they tell themselves that they're doing it, you know, for the good of the democracy, for the country, because, you know, we can't let the orange man back on back into the White House. That could be the explanation for whatever maneuvering they're doing, right? That's possible. But they've got to be working on a plan B. And if you got Democrat leaders that have all come out after this performance last night, and they're all, and these people are saying the same stuff. And maybe they weren't aware. Maybe they were, you know, blinded by partisanship or something, or loyalty. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But at some point, all the evidence starts pointing towards this idea that they are trying to set him up to fail. They're trying to create the landing strip, you know? And I don't know that to be true, but it is a possibility. At the end of the debate, there was a question about, like, it was an hour into this, or hour and 15 minutes into the debate. It was one of the last questions. Went to Joe Biden first. How do you address concerns that people have about your age? And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert here. His answer did not assuage any concerns about his age. Okay? Here it is.
Well, first of all, I spent half my career being criticized, being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent. I think that just look at the record. Look at what I've done. Look how I've turned around the horrible situation he left me. As I said, 50 million new jobs, 800,000 manufacturing jobs, more investment in America, over millions, billions of dollars in private investment in enterprises that we are growing. We brought an awful lot of people. The whole idea of computer chips, we used to have 40% of the market. We invented those chips, and we lost it because he was sending people to find the cheapest jobs overseas and to bring home a product.
What?
So I went to South Korea. I convinced Samsung to invest billions of dollars here in the United States. And they're, guess what? Those fabs, they call them, to build these chips, those fabs pay over $100,000. You don't need a college degree for them. And there's billions, about $40 billion already being invested and being built right now in the United States, creating significant jobs for Americans from all over the world.
President Biden, you have 40 seconds left. Would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I would. The idea that somehow
the idea.
We are this failing country. I never heard a president talk like this before. We're the envy of the world. Like, name me a single major country president who wouldn't trade places with the United States of America for all our problems and all our opportunities. We're the most progressive country in the world in getting things done. We're the strongest country in the world. We're a country in the world who keeps our word, and everybody trusts us, all of our allies, and our those who he coddles up to, from Kim Jong-un, he sends love letters to, and Putin, etc. They don't want to screw around with us.
Thank you. Former President Trump, to follow up, you would be 82 at the end of your second term. What do you say to voters who have concerns about your capabilities to serve?
Well, I took two tests, cognitive tests. I aced them, both of them, as you know. We made it public. He took none. I'd like to see him take one, just one, a real easy one. Like, go through the first five questions. He couldn't do it. But I took two cognitive tests. I took physical exams every year. And, you know, we knock on wood, wherever we may have wood, that I'm in very good health. I just won two club championships, not even senior, two regular club championships. To do that, you have to be quite smart, and you have to be able to hit the ball a long way. And I do it. He doesn't do it. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. He challenged me to a golf match. He can't hit a ball 50 yards. I think I'm in very good shape. I feel that I'm as in good a shape as I was 25, 30 years ago. Actually, I'm probably a little bit lighter, but I'm in as good a shape as I was years ago. I feel very good. I feel the same. But I was willing to take a cognitive test. And you know what? If I didn't do well, I aced them. Dr. Ronny Jackson, who's a great guy, when he was White House doctor. And then I took another one, a similar one. And both, one of them said they've never seen anybody ace him.
Thank you. President Biden?
You can see he is 6'5" and only 223 pounds, or 235 pounds. Well, you said 6'4", 200. Well, anyway, that's what you're, anyway. Just take a look at what he says he is and take a look at what he is.
Look, fat. He just called him fat. Joe Biden just called Donald Trump fat. And to Democrats, they love it. No fat shaming. It's all no, you know, body positivity thing here. No, no. If it's about Donald Trump, call him any name you want to. We are willing to look past all the rules that we have constructed for society as long as it's aimed at Donald Trump and all the conservatives and MAGA people, right? Yeah.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a 6. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a 6 handicap of that, all.
I was an 8 handicap.
Yeah.
8. But I have, you know how many.
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
Okay, let's not act like children. President Trump, we're going to turn.
Let's not act like children.
To a specific concern.
All right. So I did not expect Donald Trump to be the one saying, let's not act like children last night. Full disclosure, I was not expecting that to come from Donald Trump. If it came, I would have expected maybe a moderator, maybe Joe, but definitely not Donald Trump. I'm reminded of the character in the Seinfeld episode, the fighter guy, the old man, the boxer guy. Hal Holbrook, I believe, was the actor who played. That's what I think of Joe Biden. So who do you send for the cleanup? Well, you send the vice president, obviously. After the debate last night, Kamala Harris appeared on CNN. This clip runs about 4 minutes. This is an exchange between Anderson Cooper and Vice President Harris. And listen to how she refuses to answer the question repeatedly.
Some within your own party are wondering if President Biden should even step aside. What do you say to that?
Listen, first of all, what we saw tonight is the president making a very clear contrast with Donald Trump on all of the issues that matter to the American people. Yes, there was a slow start, but it was a strong finish. And what became very clear through the course of the night is that Joe Biden is fighting on behalf of the American people, on substance, on policy, on performance. Joe Biden is extraordinarily strong.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry, on substance and policy and performance tonight, I mean, the president's performance tonight clearly was disappointing for his supporters. CNN is reporting Democratic lawmakers watching the debate were worried about the president's performance. One said it was a disaster. Another called it a train wreck. Those are Democrats especially worried that Biden did not punch back on Trump's lies.
Listen, people can debate on style points, but ultimately this election and who is the president of the United States has to be about substance. And the contrast is clear. Look at what happened during the course of the debate. Donald Trump lied over and over and over again, as he is wont to do. He would not disavow what happened on January 6th. He would not give a clear answer on whether he would stand by the election results this November. He went back and forth about where he stands on one of the most critical issues of freedom in America, which is the right of a woman to make decisions about their own body. He has been completely ambiguous.
All right. Don't you mean pregnant people? Don't you say women?
And all over the place about where he stands on that issue, despite the fact that
he wasn't all over the place on abortion. He said it went back to the states. That's where it should be. You could disagree with that, but he was clear about that. And for me to say that Donald Trump is clear about anything, like, that's saying something. Okay.
He hand-selected 3 members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and that's exactly what they did. And just 3 years ago, we commemorated the 2-year anniversary of Dobbs.
Well, wait, what? 3 years ago we commemorated the 2 year anniversary? 3 year. Oh, is this one of those 2 + 2 = 5 things? Is this like that new math? 3 years ago, we did, because that would be 5 years ago, right? But that's not what happened. It wasn't 5 years ago, was it? No. Was it 5 years ago that Dobbs came out? I thought it came out during Biden. Yeah, it did, because then they went and like harassed and threatened the Supreme Court judges, and Biden's DOJ did nothing, remember? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was. So I'm not really sure what she's talking about there.
Wherein women across our country have been denied emergency health care, have suffered miscarriages to the point that...
But the president of the United States was not able to make that case to Donald Trump on the stage tonight. I mean, you debated against then Vice President Trump, Vice President Biden 4 years ago, and he was a very different person on the stage 4 years ago when you debated him. You must, I mean, that's certainly true, is it not?
Anderson, the point has to be performance in terms of what a president does. A
right,
president
but
who incites an insurrection against the Capitol. No, but I got the point that you're making about a 1.5 hour debate tonight. I'm talking about 3.5 years of performance in work that has been historic.
But all right, so you're attributing all of the things that the administration has done to Joe Biden. But what we saw last night was counterintuitive to the idea that he is actually able to advance anything, to do anything of that sort, because what we saw was a guy who was all over the place, scatterbrained, confused, couldn't finish sentences. And so what he gets all the credit for all of the stuff. It begs the question, does it not? Am I using that phrase correctly? But it begs the question, who's actually running the administration? Right, you want to give him all the credit for all this stuff. You want everybody to focus on the 3.5 years of all your successes, but we just saw him, and you're telling us he did that? I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
That the man who we saw on the stage tonight, is that the person you see in meetings every day?
The person that you saw on the debate stage that has, for the last 3.5 years, up until today, performed in a way that has been about whether it be in the Oval Office, negotiating bipartisan deals so that we have an infrastructure, a real infrastructure plan where we're putting trillions of dollars on the streets of America to upgrade our infrastructure. Whether it be the person I see in the Oval Office who is meeting with heads of the military and the intelligence community and in the Situation Room, ensuring the safety of America, the person I see in Joe Biden on the world stage, convening world leaders who often ask for his advice, most recently just during the G7 conference. So I'm not going to spend all night with you talking about the last 90 minutes when I've been watching the last 3.5 years of performance.
Right. So she wants us to believe her and not what we saw, not our lying eyes. That's what she's saying. 3.5 years, I see him do all of this stuff. This is the same. This is what makes her so terrible, by the way. Like, because last night, after watching that for 90 minutes, right, the lie was laid bare. And it was so obvious that the people who were saying the thing that she's saying in this interview right there that we just heard, the people have been saying that, like, oh, you know, there are staffers who are 22 years old and Joe Biden runs laps around them while doing what, trigonometry, while doing handstands and whatever, like transcribing Sanskrit. Like, he's so on his game. Here he is, everybody. The man of the hour on his game doing the cartwheels. Here he is. Like, wait, what? Right, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. We're not supposed to take any of that. Oh, we should judge him by 3.5 years of performance, not by 90 minutes of performance. Right. But here's the thing. I don't believe that the 3.5 years of performance was him. That's what Anderson Cooper is asking her. And she will not answer it, which now leads to the question of who's actually in charge over there. Who is actually running the administration? Let me go to some emails here. This is from Ruth. Pete, I do think that the Democrats would replace Biden if they could, but Biden would have to consent. He won the primary. They cannot just remove him. Yeah, and there are some states where they can't take him off the ballot at this point unless he's dead or he's like mentally incompetent, which... Okay, what is becoming apparent is that some unelected person is running the White House. Exactly right. That person has a lot of power, is arguably the most powerful person in the country, if not the world. People do not generally freely give up their power. So I would expect Joe to be convinced by this person or persons to stay. Bringing in another candidate would boot that person or persons from their positions and their power. Ruth, I think you are exactly correct. The people... who are, like, if this is the case, if there are people that are pulling the strings, so to speak, they are not going to give up that power. That's why we were talking earlier with a caller about this, about Kamala Harris. She's her own person. Even if she's willing to play ball, she's not going to abdicate all of that power to this cabal, to these people, to, you know, Dr. Gilson. They're not going to just, she's not going to just cede the power and be like, okay, just let me be the puppet now. She won't do that. She's going to want to make a mark. She's going to want to, you know, have her own legacy, be a two-termer and all of that. So that's the difficulty that they're now in. That's the box they're in. So they've got, I still believe that he's going to be on the ballot because I think the people who have surrounded Joe Biden and are obviously insulating him, I think that their incentives are such that they can't give it up. They can't, and they won't. But we'll see. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Matt Whitlock, comms guy, formerly of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the former Senator Orrin Hatch, Senator Mike Lee, he said of the debate, quote, "The widespread shock tonight at Biden's condition is a massive indictment of Democrat and media efforts to hide this massive national vulnerability from voters. That should be treated as a much bigger scandal." Former U.S. Attorney Andy McCarthy, he said this was a terrible night for the country. And Trump aside, no matter what Democrats do, Biden is president for the next 7 months. Every enemy of the United States knows that. This is a perilous time. I said at the beginning, it was sad last night watching that, but also pretty terrifying. Pretty terrifying. Because I don't know who's in charge. And if that guy's in charge, that's even scarier. John says, Kamala Harris said in that interview with CNN, that Trump handpicked three Supreme Court justices to overturn Roe v. Wade. But isn't that exactly what Democrats have done for the last five decades? Handpicked Supreme Court justices to protect Roe v. Wade? Yes, indeed. And in fact, the Senate confirms. So, yes, you appoint and then the Senate confirms. Right. That's always been the way. But it's different when Democrats do it. See, it's nefarious when Republicans fill the seats. It's when Democrats do it. It's different. Democrat conundrum. Yes, they've got themselves by the proverbial jewels. Biden in the November election. This is from Tim. The Republican Party, bless their hearts, they are so stupid, will find a way to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, just like in 2022. Bank on it. Joe said, I thought one of the rules was no notes, yet I thought I saw President Biden flipping a notepad with a pen in his left hand. Am I wrong? They were not allowed to bring notes, but there was a notepad and a pen so they could take notes as they're debating. So you're not allowed to bring anything in with you. DL says, a caller to the Tara Servatia show this morning brought up a point. Biden mentioned that women get raped by family members. Well, he's one of them. Look at his daughter. That's okay. And then regarding Biden's performance in Raleigh, what happened to Biden's cold? He sounds pretty clear today. Well, it was a 24-hour thing. It was one of those colds that just comes and goes. It was allergies, maybe. It was allergies or something, I guess. I don't know. It was a remarkable recovery. It just shows how young, filled with vim and vigor he is. That's all right. That'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.